2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. This episode is brought to you by T-Mobile, official 5G partner of F1 Las Vegas Grand Prix. In Vegas, it's Verstappen's Fantastic Four.
The Dutch driver will retain his crown! Max Verstappen is a four-time Formula One world champion!
Oh my God, man, what a season. Four times. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you to everyone. I mean, it's a little bit more difficult than last year, but we gave it all. Thank you so much, guys.
Welcome to Grand Prix Plaza, Las Vegas. It's F1 Nation with me, Tom Clarkson, surrounded by the lights, the hotels, the high roller observation wheel. And with me is F1 correspondent and presenter, Lawrence Barreto. In Vegas, it's all about the winners. The newly crowned four-time world champion, Max Verstappen, and the race winner, George Russell. Lawrence, what a day, what a weekend it's been. One of those winners, I think, quite predictable. The other one, less so.
The George Russell victory was definitely not on the cards coming into this weekend, but the Max Verstappen World Championship most certainly was. I've just spent 20 minutes chatting to him, and it was interesting that he said there it was in Brazil when he crossed the line after that epic drive back from 17th to 1st where he realised he'd won the title. He was like, that was the moment. He was like, I've done it. Like, unless something dramatic happens. And I'd never seen Max talk like that. I've never seen him be so open and so forthcoming in kind of revealing that kind of detail about himself when he let himself kind of run away with the excitement and the expectation of what he'd achieved. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a new side to him. So, yeah, I think we all thought that Max was going to win the title. It was a question of when. But I thought it was fascinating that it was that moment in time that he's revealed that that's when he thought he'd won it.
Well, why don't we start by just getting a little bit of Max Verstappen. He's joined the elite club of four-time F1 world champions. Only the sixth driver in F1's long history to reach that milestone.
You grow up racing and you see all these stats of some, you know, legendary drivers and you're like, that's, you know, very impressive. And I hope one day that I can even just be on the podium, win a race, maybe win a championship. You know, it's already hard enough to win one. And of course, then you also need a bit of luck to be in the right team situation to maybe win more. But yeah, luckily we did that. But I think that was more like the first three championships. Now this year, we hit the ground running well, but then we had a lot of tough races. And that is where something where I'm very proud of, in those tough races where we were definitely not the fastest car. We kept it together as a team. We worked very hard back at the factory as well. Remained calm most of the times. And we barely made any mistakes. You know, we really maximize or even overperform in some places. Plus, our opposition also in a few places definitely didn't grab the points that they should have, and all those things of course matter at the end of the day when you fight for a championship.
Christian Horner believes this has been your most impressive season to date. Do you agree with him?
I think so too. I mean, last year I had a dominant car, but I always felt that not everyone appreciated what we achieved as a team. You know, winning 10 in a row. Of course, our car was dominant, but it wasn't as dominant, I think, as people thought it was. So that's for sure my best season I will always look back at. Because even in places where maybe we didn't have the perfect setup, we were still capable, because in the race, our car was always quite strong, to win races. But I'm also very proud of this season, because for most of the season, I would say for 70% of the season, we didn't have the fastest car, but actually we still extended our lead. So that is definitely something that I'm very proud of.
Let's delve into this now, Lawrence. Where does this fourth title rank for Max? Do you think it's his best one?
Oh, without a doubt, it's his best one, because I think he's come across a challenge from Mercedes, from McLaren, from Ferrari, that have really pushed him to an absolute limit this year. But he's also had the internal politics within the Red Bull team to deal with. He's had a teammate who has not performed at a high level, who hasn't been there to support him. And when you add all of those factors up, the fact that he's still come out on top is mighty impressive. And I think he's still done it with two races to spare as well. And that run of seven wins in 10 races at the start of the year feels like a mile ago, doesn't it? It just, when was that? And then to say that he hadn't won a race until Brazil, having last won in Spain, and now he's gone and clinched the World Championship. I think that really shows the fact that even on the bad days, Max Verstappen is brilliant, you know, and I think that's what makes great champions. It's someone who can turn things around. And I think his rivals, when they were talking about how impressed they were with Max this year, that was the thing they really picked out on, is that it's not about the wins. It's not about the way you go and dominate a weekend. It's about when you're really up against it, like he was here in Vegas. He somehow put that car fifth on the grid here when it really had no right being there. And then in the Grand Prix itself, he was able to, you know, he asked GP, shall I fight the Ferraris? And he was like, oh, go on then. Like, because he still wanted to fight them, right? Because he always wants to do the best job. And I think that really, for me, is what marks him out as a great champion, but what marks his performance this specific year out as his very best.
Well, you mentioned Giampiero Lambiassi, GP, there. Let's hear from GP, who's been his engineer for all four of Max's world titles. GP, many congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You got it over the line.
We did get it over the line, and that's ultimately that's the main thing.
Look, how are the emotions on this Saturday evening in Las Vegas? Is it an overriding relief? Is that the main thing?
It is an immense relief, but also a little bit more emotional than I was expecting, actually, both from Max on the radio, and I'll let Christian give him, well, let's say, carry out all the complimentaries on the radio, because I choked up a little bit as well. And I think it just comes down to that relief at the end of what has been actually quite an intense year. Not quite as intense as 2021, but it at times ran it close.
Why is this one so special?
They're all special, don't get me wrong. Last year was special for very different reasons, but this one's special because of the effort and commitment that not only Max but the whole team has had to put in to make it happen. Okay, the first half a dozen races looked like it was a bit of a cruise, but actually we entered quite a difficult period, as everybody knows. But we had to work day and night to really try to understand the source of the problems, and I think we've started to come out the other side, which is great news for the team, but it's also meant that our performances on track have improved, and well, we saw the culmination of that in Brazil with Max as well.
Tell us a little bit more about the job that Max Verstappen has done this year. Would you say it's his best season so far?
I think the worrying thing for the grid is that Max is improving every year, which is frightening, really, because he's at an incredible level, as you know, as it is. But, you know, in all areas, that's the thing. You know, he's working hard with the team, his racecraft on track, his qualifying laps, his consistency, and also his ability to give up when you need to give up. And we saw that today. You know, he raced for what mattered today rather than the final place on the podium.
In all of those areas you've just described, where has he made the most progress this year?
I think ultimately it just comes down to maturity and experience. Having been there three times before, I guess 2021 laid the foundations, and now he's just becoming a very, very, very complete driver.
since Miami, McLaren have been running you close. They've quite often been faster than you. Has there ever been a moment this year where you've doubted that you were going to win this championship?
Not, I wouldn't say doubted, but certainly you don't take anything for granted. And as I said earlier, you know, we took one race at a time, and there was a bit of a trend towards the middle of the year where things weren't really going our way, and we could see that other teams, not only McLaren, but other teams were making progress on us, relatively speaking. And we had to do something. We had to make some changes. And the team has come through on that. So kudos to them.
And how has your bond with Max evolved this year? Because it feels like this is the first time since you've been winning championships that you've been under a lot of strain together. And we did hear a few flare-ups along the way, didn't we? Has it always been all sweetness and light, or have there been
moments? Hungary springs to mind.
Yeah.
And we had actually a very quiet week after. I don't think there was a word spoken, you know, in the 3-4 days after the Hungary race. But we had a really good meeting in Spa together with Christian and Pierre, just clearing the air. Not that there was ever any animosity, but I think sometimes when adrenaline is running that high, it's best just to leave things alone. You know, Max and I are very similar in that respect. You know, we're not ones to bow down and, you know, give in very easily. So yes, definitely that portion of the year springs to mind. But for the rest, again, it's a relationship that's grown over what is now 9 seasons. So we know each other very well. We work together very well. So yeah, long may that continue.
Well, let's throw it forward to 25. It looks on paper like it might be incredibly close. Does that actually help someone like Max Verstappen because he makes no mistakes?
I think it helps him knowing that he has the ability to pull off results that perhaps aren't always there. And I think at the same time that maybe hurts or dents some of his competitors psychologically. Not all of them, but perhaps some of them. But, you know, 2025 is a few months away. Now, I think more importantly, we need to finish the year on a high to keep morale in the team up over the winter, because, again, it's been a really hard year. And I think this was a bit of a unique, well, as everybody knows, it was a bit of a unique event with the temperatures and the tyre behaviour, etc. So I don't think we see the true, it's not a true reflection of the car performance out there today. So, yeah, we'll do our best to finish Qatar and Abu Dhabi on a high and hopefully grab another win or two. And then, yeah, next year is next year.
GP, very well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. Great to hear from GP, but Lawrence, before you come in, let's go straight from Max's race engineer to his team principal, Christian Horner. Christian, I'm sensing this one means an awful lot to you.
Yeah, it means a huge amount. I mean, to get this one done, I mean, it's been a tough year, but Max has been outstanding this year. I think the team have, you know, obviously we've had a difficult summer with the car, and but, you know, nobody's ever given up, and I think that, you know, coming back over the last few races, you know, Max has been outstanding. And, you know, so to win this one, to have won 8 Grand Prix, more than double the amount of races of any of his competitors, with 2 Grand Prix still to go, you know, is, testimony to an incredible season that he's had.
Can we delve into what you mean by outstanding, Max being outstanding? Where has he been outstanding this year?
He always gives you 110%. And races, think back to Imola, think back to Barcelona, races that were completely on the knife's edge. And he delivered. And again, Montreal. But then on races that he didn't have a car that capable of winning, he was still extracting big results. You know, second place at Silverstone, at Zandvoort, at Singapore. You know, and so he was still scoring big points on days that he couldn't win.
Has he become more of a leader this year?
Well, I think
outside
of
that,
I think he's inspired people from within the cockpit, and I think you know, seeing how he drives, seeing the commitment that he gives, he's worked incredibly hard behind the teams with the engineers and the technicians and designers, and on the simulator, he's really put the long hours in, and you know, that's paid off.
He obviously had the car for the last 2 years to completely dominate.
Yeah.
He hasn't had that this year.
Yeah.
Is this more on him?
Well, look, I mean, he's been head and shoulders the best driver in Formula One this year. And from Miami, McLaren had a better car or a faster car than us. We managed to get more performance onto the car in the latter part of the year. And we were still able to execute, you know, great races and get every ounce of performance. So, you know, as a team, we've had to dig really deep. And that's the most satisfying thing about this championship win is, you know, seeing how Max and the team have had to work their nuts off for it.
He's the second Red Bull driver to do 4 on the bounce.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm talking about Sebastian Vettel. How different has it been, that journey been with Max compared to Sebastian?
Well, of course, the numbers are similar in terms of 4 in a row, which I never thought we'd repeat, because to do it once is incredible.
I don't believe you. I think the competitor in you always thought you could do it.
You want to do it, but you never know whether you can. And I think that, you know, Max winning that first world championship then unshackled him, and off, you know, he's just grown and grown and grown, and you know, he's got the most phenomenal ability, but with that, the determination and tenacity and racing intelligence, you know, the way he reads the race, the way he reads the tires, the way he understands the setup of the car, I've never seen that in any other driver.
Is there one standout moment this year?
Brazil, undoubtedly. I mean, going from 17th in the wet to winning that Grand Prix, for me, that was Senna 1993 kind of performance. So, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Of the 8 that he's won this year, how many of them were not in the fastest car?
Well, look, I mean, if you think back to, we've been very quick at the start of some of the races, like Barcelona, we'd pull out a lead, then they'd hunt us down the back end of the race. Imola, the same. Montreal, the same. You know, of course, we haven't, you know, McLaren have had a better car from us since Miami, but I think we've maximised our race weekends. We've got every ounce out of the car. Max has driven the wheels off it, the strategy, pit stops, you know, the whole team has had to to operate at at that level to win this and defend this championship.
Five in a row next year.
Ugh. I think let's enjoy the fourth one for now. It's going to be immensely tight. I mean, the regulations are stable. You can see how tight it's been the second half of this year, and you've got four big teams that'll be, you know, all pitching for it next year.
Okay, Christian, many congratulations.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks.
Well, I think Christian's not wrong about those four teams, Lawrence. And even if Max Verstappen doesn't have the best car next year, he's still going to be a factor because he's so consistent.
And I think he'll take a lot of confidence from the fact that he has been able this year to be so consistent, even on the weekends where Red Bull weren't strong, and he's managed to win that title. And I do wonder whether, with the threat from those three teams to make it a four-team fight, whether or not this one was so important for him to get over the line, because who knows what will happen next year. Might this be the end of this run, not just from a successive championship point of view, but for a number of years? So I think maybe that is why maybe Max was so happy today when he clinched that title, because he had the blessing, I think, in the last couple of years of knowing the car after was probably going to be the best one, and he just doesn't have that now. So yeah, I think what he's achieved so far this year, both in terms of consistency, but the way he's always fought back, you know, when Christian talks about he never gave up, Max is really stubborn in a really positive way. Like, he doesn't let the bad times irritate him. He can kind of move on very quickly. One thing, whenever I interview him, he always talks about how he can, like, flick a switch and Formula One doesn't exist anymore, and he's with his family and he's with his friends, or he's sim racing, and then he just flicks the switch back on and he's exactly where he left himself when he turned the switch off again. And I think for any elite sports person to be able to do that is impressive, but I think the way that Max is so efficient at doing that is what has allowed him, in my opinion, to go on this run. And then in years where it has been difficult, you know, 2021 included in this one here, he's able to come out on top. And I don't think we can ever look back at this championship, Tom, I don't know if you agree, but we can never look back at this championship as one that was given to him, you know, because he won 7 out of 10 races. I don't think it's fair to do that. I think you have to look at the championship as a whole, and actually what he's done in the second two-thirds-ish of the season is even more impressive.
Totally agree with that. I think it's the races he's... Since Miami, McLaren have had the best car more often than not. And when it's not been McLaren, it's been Ferrari. I don't think Red Bull have had the fastest car. And yet, as you say, he's never given up. And I think this year has proved that winning world championships isn't about the peaks. It's not about Lando Norris winning the Singapore Grand Prix by more than 20 seconds. It's about getting the maximum out of the bad days. And that is what Max has done so consistently and so well. And that's what makes him such a phenomenal competitor. And I thought it was interesting that GP was talking about the emotion of this one. He said, didn't he, that he was more surprisingly emotional. Because I think this has been a really draining championship. I think the roller coaster nature of it for everyone at Red Bull has been hard. And in a way, for them to have fought back and had a much more competitive car in these latter races is just proof that, you know, Red Bull, for all of the controversy earlier in the year, for all of the staff movement that's going on, they are still a phenomenal racing team.
And I think that's why Max was really keen today and all the media he's done to really thank the team for their efforts in the face of all that adversity. I think the way that they have responded, even on a weekend like this, where, you know, the rear wing was a massive issue and they knew that already, he's never, like, panned them. He's always been impressed at the fact that they've just found a way. You know, they found a way to just try and make the best of a bad scenario. And we haven't really seen teams like McLaren and Ferrari and Mercedes of recent times able to do that. And I think Red Bull are still holding on to that ability to get the very best out, squeeze the very best out of a weekend. And, okay, the Constructors' Championship might be a little bit too much to ask them this year, but I think what they've done as a team has been critical to Max winning the Drivers' Championship.
And I think if they'd had a better second driver, they would be right up there in the Constructors' Championship
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. That's hurt them. You can't move away from the fact that, you know, Checo hasn't scored a podium since race five. And I think that hurts the team on multiple levels. It's not really just about the points. It's about the development of the car, isn't it? It's about the strategy within a Grand Prix. It's about the morale within the team. It's about the pressure it puts on the team. So I think the fact that, again, we return to the same point, that Max has been able to do this, that the team has been able to pull together, is even more impressive.
And that question I put to Christian about him being a leader, I feel that has come through in all the adversity this year, more than we've seen. So prior to 2024 with Max, he's really, you know, when the chips are down, I feel he has stepped forward and taken the responsibility.
It's inspiring, really, I think. And he mentioned, you know, remind me, he's only 27. But he acts much, much older this year. I think he has leveled up in that sense. And I wonder whether when you go through this really difficult, draining championship, whether it forces you to grow up or you fail. And clearly Max has grown up immensely. And I think when he talks about his childhood and the pressure, positive pressure that Jos, his father, put on him to always want to win, to always be the very best, I think that is coming through now. I think we're seeing that he's able to maybe really streamline it in a way that can get the very best out of himself consistently and make him a stronger decision maker on track as well as off.
So people listening to this, in the pubs around the world, the greatest conversation. Can we talk about Max now as one of the greatest?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I put it to him that when I was looking at the kind of performances that he's put in over the last 4 years, I'm starting to put him in the realms of, you know, your Tiger Woodses, your Serena Williamses, when we, you know, go cross sport, because of the kind of utter dominance that he's had in certain years and the way that he is faced adversity and never given up and found a way to win. So I think that while Max won't say this now, and he'll wait until obviously the end of his career to even look back fully on what he's able to achieve in the minute, I think that it's one thing to dominate a sport when you've got the very best car, and we've seen that obviously through Schumacher when he had that at Ferrari, Lewis when he had that Mercedes. But we've now had two championships where Max hasn't really had the best car. He hasn't been the one that's had the form. So two of the four that he's won. And he's done it. And this year, of all years, there's that stat that there's seven drivers who won two wins apiece this year. And Max has still come out on top. Like, I think that is a phenomenal achievement. And look, it's so hard to compare drivers, Tom. I'm sure we've done this multiple times over dinner, where we've tried to talk about, you know, which driver is best, but you can't compare over eras. But I think what you can say is that what Max is doing is incredible. Lando Norris said today, Max has no weaknesses. That is a remarkable thing for not only a friend, but a rival to say. And at the minute, if I'm honest, I am struggling to find a weakness, because even in those small moments like Mexico, where you could argue the red mist descended and when he was battling Lando and he cut the corner, he still found a way to rein himself back in and get it under control quickly. And I think that that is, no one's perfect. And I think that he is as close to, or becoming as close to, the ultimate racing driver. Now, look, I know that he's just won the championship and it's easy to get carried away on a day like this, but it's been building. This has been a season where I think we will look back in 10, 15, 20 years, and this will have been the year where when we're talking about Max as a great, we'll say, this is why. Like, there'll be multiple examples this year that we could pull out where we can say, this is why he's one of the greats.
Do you think he can do more? 5, 6, 7, 8, get that record 8th?
I honestly think the world's his oyster after this year, because the difference now is, it's not just about whether or not he's got the best car. He's proved he can win the championship when he has and when he hasn't. And I think that is a really formidable thing to do. And I think even heading into next year, if it is true that there was a four-team fight for the Constructors and the Drivers' Championship, I can't see anything that this year that makes me think that Max won't be able to still win that. And then if he does stay on at Red Bull to complete his contract for 26, 27, 28... and they deliver another package, even if they still aren't the best again, I go back to the same thing. I still think he can do it. So, yeah, to answer your question in a very long-winded way, yeah, I think he can go on to win 8. I when I was chatting to him about that, he kind of independently brought up when I mentioned, you know, your Sebastian Vettels, your Alain Prost, people who had won four championships. He was the one who brought up that, you know, eight championships is possible. He didn't say that he wants to win eight, but he brought the fact that it is potentially there on the table. And that is a new thing, because I've not heard him talk about that before, because it's always been about take it 1 year at a time. And I do think that is how he approaches it, 1 year at a time, 1 year at a time. But the fact that he's even entertaining that prospect, when sometimes on the bad days he talks about, you know, I don't have to do this forever. I can do this. I love racing, so I might go off and do other motorsports. I might go and do sim racing. But this was the first time where he's talking about being there. And I don't think he wants to, I don't think he's doing it to be part of the greats. I don't think he's doing it to say he has won the most. I think he can just see now that he can do it. I think that he can go and win eight. And he'll look back on his career, I'm sure, and be proud to be associated with those names. But you touched on it earlier, Tom. He is super competitive, and his greatest competitor is himself. So I think his main reason for wanting to get eight is to see if he personally can do it, rather than because he wants to beat Lewis and Michael. That's just my opinion. That's the feels I get from him.
So Las Vegas was where Lando Norris's championship dream ended. He needed to finish ahead of Verstappen to keep the fight alive. It's been his best F1 season so far, but it wasn't enough.
Now I'll start off by saying congrats to Max. I'm disappointed that I'm out of it, but Max deserved to win it. He drove a better season than we did and than I did. He deserved it more than anyone else. You know, Max just doesn't have a weakness. When he's got the best car, he dominates, and when he's not got the best car, he's still just there always, and always there to make your life tough and difficult, you know. So that's about it, you know. This weekend's been dreadful from us, so we couldn't even put up a fight against Max, and that's something I would have loved to have done today. But yeah, congrats to him for what he's achieved.
A disappointed Lando Norris there. His momentum faded over the past few races, but I thought that sounded to me, Lawrence, like he was being very honest and open with you.
He was being super open. I think what I felt from Lando this weekend was that he was the most relaxed, body language-wise, physically and mentally, that he's been for months. I think what it told me this weekend was that the pressure of the World Championship had been weighing pretty heavily on his shoulders. And I think obviously that result in Brazil made him realise that title probably wasn't going to happen this year. And I think it looks like he's gone away and he's thought about what he's achieved this year. And I think he started to look at how good it's been, really, how much of a step he's made. He's, you know, ticked off that first win. He's won multiple wins. He's mounted a title challenge, whatever way you look at it, even if it was looking a little bit difficult at most points during that fight. So I think while he is bitterly disappointed, and Tom, you know how tough he is, you know, when we interview him, he's very tough on himself. I do think that he's realised what he's really gained from this year is something that you can't buy and will be significant when he now goes on in the next couple of years to fight for world championships, because he will.
You don't know what you don't know in life, and he has been on this massive journey of discovery this year, and I think everything you've just said is he is thinking, but I think that comes with a tinge of frustration, because I think knowing what he knows now this season could have been very different if he'd known it 9 months ago.
But you're right. But the problem
there's
is
there's nothing
he
quite like having
it.
That having won a championship, right? That gives you the knowledge. And Lando with zero championships against Max with three championships gunning for a fourth. Max is so good. Lando needs that knowledge and massive data bank this year, which will help him next year. And you just hope that McLaren have got the car and that this wasn't the moment.
Yeah, I do wonder whether to that point Lando might worry that this was the only chance that he'll get, because we don't know what kind of car McLaren are going to deliver next year. The chances are they'll continue on the momentum that they've been on for what, the last 18 months for 2 years. But I understand that feeling. I can understand why that thought might have come into his head that this might have been his only chance. But hopefully he will come to terms and accept the fact that he can't know, like you said, what he didn't know, and that this learning will make him stronger going forward. And I thought it was really nice of Max when he was talking about Lando. He said, I've told Lando many times when we've hung out that you're going to win. He said to Lando, you're going to win at some point. Your time is going to come, but you have to be patient. And I thought it was fascinating.
But not if I have anything to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. But I did, when he said that, I did wonder whether if Max does ultimately end up losing to Lando in the future, even though if Max does hate losing, he will maybe respect that. Whereas I feel like, yeah, of course he never wants to lose to Lando, but I thought it was interesting that he rated Lando that highly, because Max wouldn't say that unless he genuinely believed that. What I am fascinated to see is, now that Lando has built up this bank of knowledge, what is going to happen next year when we're reset at zero and they are, say, going into a chicane side by side again? Like, what is going to happen? Is Max going to act differently? Is Lando going to act differently? Because I think all of the learnings from this year, Lando is going to be a different driver because he's going to have that bank of data in his head. And that is when it's going to get spicy, I think, because Max is probably going to have to change the way he works.
I don't think Lando's going to try and go around the outside of turn 12 in Austin. It will be fascinating. I still think they haven't had the crash yet. I do feel there is going to be a crash coming.
The Austria crash wasn't enough for you,
Tom? No, it wasn't.
That
wasn't, no. Because I actually think Lando, deep down, thinks he made a mess of that. He could have avoided that. Whereas I think he still needs to prove to Max that you've got to make room for me or we're going to crash.
Do you think it's that Lewis moment at Silverstone at Cops, you know, when they had that contact, you know?
Transformed their battle, and I think Lando still needs to have
you're
that.
Right.
Let's hope it's not at 180 mile an hour corner like Cops, but
it's more about him just not backing down, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think you're right, and we probably, because of the relative performance of the cars, we haven't really had that opportunity this year. But if what is everyone is feeling within this paddock at the minute, that we are going to have this four-car fight next year, and McLaren do deliver a car and Red Bull do deliver a car that can fight each other, then I can see, because they are so talented, I can see them having the opportunity to give us that answer pretty early next year.
Lando must really be hoping that they win the Constructors' Championship to get some positivity going into the winter.
Absolutely, and he will know how much of a part he would have played in that team winning that championship. And you think about the fact that they had both cars knocked out of Q1 at the start of Bahrain last year, to now leading the Constructors' Championship with two races to go, and genuinely they've got the performance to do so. I think there is a lot to be said there, Tom. You're right, in that Lando needs this, actually, maybe more so than the driver's title. And I know that might seem a bit funny, but I think that might be the perfect trajectory that Lando needs to, you know, win the Constructors this year. That gives him the confidence to next year ultimately believe that he can do it, or whenever that next opportunity comes along.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
George Russell wins the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Viva! Oh, boys, again. Whoa! Come on!
Where are we? Superb drive today. Faultless.
Now let's talk about the race winner. Mercedes returned to the podium in dominant fashion this weekend with their first 1-2 since Sao Paulo in 2022, as George Russell led Lewis Hamilton across the line for the third Grand Prix win of his career. Let's hear from the teammates now, starting with Russell.
It's been a real surprise in how strong our pace has been. Securing the pole yesterday, I was so pleased with. And then I think we won the race in stint one. To be honest, stint one was exceptional. And I knew from there on in, the only way we would probably lose the victory is if I grained the tyres and opened them up. So it was just a case of managing my pace, managing in the right corners and bringing it home. And on tracks like this, where it's relatively smooth, we can get the car quite low, quite stiff, you know, we fly.
George, very well done today. Thank you very much. Lewis, let's come to you. What a charge by you today. You had so much pace. How much did you enjoy it, first of all?
Yeah, I had a great time. when you're progressing and moving forwards, it's always a great feeling. But it was felt very much like my old days at Rye House, like starting at the back and coming through. So it was great.
Without that difficult Q3 yesterday, how different might today have been for you?
It doesn't really matter. Really, does it? At the end of the day, George did a great job, did everything he was supposed to do, and I'm happy for him, and I'm just grateful I could get back up there to support the team where they want to.
George was mega, wasn't he? Would you say it's his best win in Formula 1, best weekend in Formula 1?
I think the way that he punched the air when he crossed the line to win this race told you a lot about what this win meant for George. I'm not saying that these other two victories weren't impressive. I'm saying that I think what he achieved this weekend on a circuit where his teammate Lewis Hamilton has been very strong and actually in phases was the faster Mercedes driver, just didn't really hook it together. Whereas I feel like George didn't really put a foot wrong, and I imagine that is going to do wonders for his confidence. Not that he'll ever not back himself against Lewis, but I think in terms of a complete weekend, and I think in the way that he commanded this Grand Prix, the gap that he pulled out right at the start of this race, the way that he absorbed the pressure of Lewis hunting him down in that final segment, basically going, I've got enough in the tank to keep you behind comfortably, I think it was incredible. And I think the way that he was talking in the TV pen to all of the broadcasters, the way that he was standing tall, the way that he was talking about the joy that it's brought him from winning this race, it could be a significant moment. It could make a real difference, I think, going forward, both for his confidence, for Mercedes' confidence in him now, because obviously Lewis is leaving the team and Kimi Antonelli's coming in. I think this could be a real statement, especially if George had any worries that his future at the team might be under threat because Kimi Antonelli's coming in and could be the future. I think this was a real statement win. This was a real statement result from George Russell that I think we'll look back on in the next year or so as a significant moment.
Still a surprise, though. I mean, Mercedes, that car is a complete diva. Even now, after 50 laps of racing, they don't understand really why it's come alive this weekend. We then go to the desert conditions of Qatar next weekend. It's going to be much hotter. Well, it will be hotter, although, of course, it's a night race, but do you think it's a concern that they still don't understand why this car is quick when it's quick? And
yeah, of course it's going to be a concern. I think that we got so used to Mercedes doing the near-perfect job consistently weekend in, weekend out for years, that to see them into year three now of not understanding really where they're going wrong, I think they'll openly admit that they're concerned. But I think what has been positive for them and where they can take the positives from this year is at least their peaks have been very strong. You know, they've won with both drivers this year. They've delivered on a weekend this year, even if they don't understand why they've delivered. There are obviously some reasons that we can pinpoint. Colder conditions tend to suit them. Maybe they just did a lot of better homework on the Friday, because I know I do it, I'll admit, even after they were so strong in both FP1 and FP2, I expected them to tail off during the weekend, because that's been the pattern this year. So what they probably need to do is find out whatever they did from Friday into Saturday this time around, see if there's any correlation to what they can do going forward, because Lewis was happy throughout. Apart from those two laps in Q3, Lewis was happy throughout, and that hasn't happened all year. So if they can understand why that was the case, and then understand why George was on it from the very first lap, but even when there was a little bit of a concern maybe going into Saturday, he was able to still find a solution pretty quickly. But also the way that they were able just to command the race today when there were lots of unknowns. You know, they knew the medium was going to grain. No one had run the hard, and yet they were the team. You know, the team don't understand how their car works to actually get the most out of it. So maybe they found some answers when they dig into it over the next couple of days, or they will have found some answers to move forward. But it has still shown that they are still quite far away, really, from fighting consistently for the championships. I'm not saying that they can't get there in the near future, but I'm just saying that you're looking at teams like McLaren, Ferrari, who had a tougher day, but they know why. And I think that's the difference. I think if McLaren, Mercedes can go away from this weekend and any of those things I've just mentioned, and they help understand their problems, then maybe that might be their light bulb moment.
Joe, if you listen back to the press conferences this weekend, George on Thursday was saying, yeah, we understand the problems with this car now. We know what we've got to do. And then as soon as they were quick after qualifying, he said, I've no idea why we're quick. So Lewis Hamilton is going to be pleased that he turned up. And he actually admitted, didn't he, on the media day on Thursday, that he was genuinely not wanting to carry on because of all the problems he'd had in Brazil. But the car came alive, and there was an energy about Lewis, wasn't there? I felt that, yeah, we haven't seen for ages.
There was that glint in his eye again that was like, I know what I'm doing, I've got this. And I know that it wasn't the final result that he wanted, but you're right, there was something different about Lewis this weekend, and boy did he need it, because even after Brazil, there have been races this year where, you know, kind of not wanting to throw the towel in, but like he you could see how much it was hurting him that he couldn't quite understand why he wasn't the Lewis that he knows he can deliver. So I think that bounce back, and, you know, this sport's all about confidence, to bounce back immediately will be important. He's only got two races left to kind of really boost that confidence before he goes to Ferrari. And I think it will be important for him to finish the season strongly. I think it will irritate him that he wasn't able to beat George on track this weekend, because obviously it's super important for him to leave Mercedes on a high and for him to know that he feels like he's the stronger of the two drivers. But I think there was enough in that Grand Prix today that will have told him personally, even if he doesn't say it out loud, that he was the strongest driver at this track. It was just the case that George did the better job and hooked it all together.
Let's talk about Ferrari now. They came home third and fourth, Carlos slipping back one place from where he qualified. Now, talk about pre-race predictions. I did actually think Carlos was my favourite to win the Grand Prix today. I thought they had the fastest car. So it just it proves, actually, when you look at the weekend, Lawrence, how unpredictable this is now. In that, you know, there was an Alpine in P3. This is a power track. Alpine have got the worst power unit. Openly admit that. So it's so difficult to read this sport now. But Ferrari, they did slip back slightly to some of their old ways, didn't they? I mean, not talking from a performance point of view, I think Carlos, even if he'd had a completely clean race, was going to get beaten by the Mercedes today. But just the mix-up of the pit stops, the crossing the white line on the pit lane entry, that pit me now, don't pit me, it smacked of the Ferrari of old. And I'm talking last year, year before, really. I think it'll be an interesting debrief that Fred needs to sort of stamp on that and get the it's the lines of communication, isn't it? You know, you listen to George Russell in qualifying saying, I want to go out at the end because the track is going to ramp up. He's commanding things and the team is reacting. Carlos is commanding things in the car and the team is not reacting at Ferrari. And I think that needs to change. You can't put a championship challenge together until you sort that out.
This was really, though, the first time in a long time, I'm trying to think, at least half a season, where I feel like Ferrari lost their way. We haven't seen them do that kind of error consistently, and that's the strategic call. Carlos is such a team player, and he always defends the team. But even today, he couldn't hide from the fact that they'd just made a mistake. You know, they'd made a mistake with the strategy in a way that they haven't really done in recent times. Now, ahead of this weekend, I talked to Fred Vasseur about changing the culture at the team and how he demanded that they take more risks and they be more aggressive. And then if it goes wrong, it's okay. You know, and I think we've started to see that that is cutting through the team. So it was odd, from my perspective, of the way that today's race unfolded, because it didn't really make a lot of sense. They were doing a number of things that they haven't done, that it looked like they were ironing out of themselves. So it might just be that this is a one-off, that a number of things have happened this weekend. Like, for example, you said they were the pre-weekend favourites. They were not. It was very clear early on this weekend they were not. And maybe that destabilised them. They will know that Qatar and Abu Dhabi are McLaren tracks. So this race was potentially the most high-pressured race they've had in a long time. Take on that, the difficult Brazil weekend they had. So maybe they just need a bit of a reset, and it maybe tested this new Fred Vasseur philosophy just a little bit more. It really stress test it. So
it's a really good point.
I would hope that they will learn from this, but I think that's what will be quite telling in the next couple of races.
But I worry that might be too little too late. Now, what are they? They're 24 points behind McLaren in the constructors. There's, what, 60 still on the table? McLaren have got to have a calamitous final two races for Ferrari to take this now.
I think so. And I think Lando and Oscar proved today why they've been so good. That even on a weekend where they've been basically in a world of pain, they still got a really decent points haul that has helped them maintain a decent cushion heading to a track. You know, frankly, they're going to lock out the front row in Qatar and they're going to be dominant there. So I think that they did what they needed to do this weekend. From Ferrari's perspective, personally, their championship challenge has come out of nowhere. So even if they don't win, I'm not saying they're not going to win, but even if they don't win this year, they've got so much to be proud of, I think, because I do think things are changing at that team. And I think they've learned enough about themselves that if they don't flip back to the old Ferrari ways over the winter, they can launch a championship challenge. Now, I know that isn't much of a consolation if they don't win the Constructors this year, because obviously that is another year of waiting for a Constructors title. But I think that it's actually McLaren who have done the better job, frankly, so far this year. And so I think Ferrari will be able to accept that if they don't win. But also, the very fact that we didn't expect Mercedes to be good around here suggests that even if we think McLaren are going to be great in Qatar, that doesn't mean it's the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, interesting to talk about Ferrari over the winter, because we've spoken a lot on this pod about the advantage of Max having those three titles under his belt in this battle with Lando Norris and the difference that has made for him. I think Lewis Hamilton joining Ferrari with his championship winning experience will help them. Carlos, brilliant racing driver. Charles Leclerc, brilliant racing driver, but neither has won a world championship. And go back to you don't know what you don't know, particularly in those high pressure situations, which you've just described this weekend as. I think that really could help Ferrari.
I think so. I think we've seen it with, you know, the Fernando Alonso effect at Aston Martin. I think we've seen it with the way that Williams are so excited about Carlos Sainz joining them next year. I think that kind of impact a driver can have is significant. I think that when they turn up for work and they know they're building a car for a 7-time world champion, there's something in a human psyche that just changes things the way that you go about it. So I think it will help. Equally, it's going to bring a lot of pressure. So again, it's going to stress test this new Fred Vasseur philosophy of go and take risks and make sure you deliver. So I think I'm excited to see what can happen there. And maybe it will be their time. Maybe the stars will align that Ferrari have built themselves up into these championship contenders this year, whether or not they win it or not. And then they've got this incredibly talented driver coming on board next year alongside a driver they rate highly in Charles Leclerc. And maybe that is when the stars will align for them.
Bit of any other business before we go. I feel we do need to talk about the battle for P6 in the Constructors' Championship. Alpine, VCarb, Haas. I mean, it is so close. And Haas have just, you know, that eighth place finish by Nico Hülkenberg today is, what are they? They're a point ahead now. They've retaken P6. I mean, we talk about the battle at the front, but I'm absolutely loving that mid-grid scrap
between these teams?
Oh, me too. I think in previous years, we've tried to make a battle of, you know, the fight for P4, the fight for P6. But what I love about the battle this year is we're physically seeing it happen on track. We saw Yuki Tsunoda and Nico Hülkenberg physically fighting for that point that makes the difference. We saw Pierre Gasly putting himself in a spot that, frankly, that car did not deserve. And I felt bad for him because with the power unit issue that we didn't fully get to see. But if he had have stayed out on track, I reckon it would have been that three-car battle for those points. And I think that's super exciting heading into these next couple of races, that we're going to see this fight happen on track, not rather just the mass of one team doing well one weekend and one team doing well on another weekend. So they're all at different points in their lifespan at the minute. Alpine are rebuilding after a dreadful start to the year. VCARB are trying to morph themselves into this sister team with this whole new structure they've got. Haas, you know, they haven't had a year like this since 2018, was it, when they had that great year and they finished P5. But this year have proved that they can deliver a car that can fight at the midfield with this business model that they use. So I'm loving it. But what I'm specifically loving is the fight on track. Nico Hülkenberg was just excited. Yuki Tsunoda, they were just excited about the fight. And that's what I love. We've got drivers up and down the field at the minute who are loving Grand Prix racing, even if they can't fight up at the sharp end.
You fight your own battles in this sport. Not everyone can finish P1. If the battle is for that final point or final 2 points, in the, that's what you're going for. This was like a victory for Hülkenberg today, wasn't it? Now, we're in Vegas. I don't know if you're a betting man or not, but we're in Vegas. Who's your money on for that P6, or is it still too close to call?
I think based on the performance today, I think Haas. I think that Nico Hülkenberg's form today was brilliant. I think that they have been the more consistent of those three teams. I think Alpine have had a car since Austin that has performed strongly. They had that peak in Brazil, but then they've had a weekend now where they haven't scored any points. Well, I think that Haas consistency is really making the difference. I think what will be interesting is, with VCARB RB, is how Liam Lawson deals with the pressure of being speculated as a potential replacement for Sergio Perez in the future. It will depend on whether or not Yuki Tsunoda copes with the pressure of whether or not he's in the fight. Today he did, I thought, and I thought he did a great job. And I thought VCARB did a great job generally over the course of the weekend. So that is probably ultimately what it's going to come down to, is whether or not they do a good job from that first practice session. But I just think that Haas operationally have been so strong, in terms of performance have been so strong, and with a Kevin Magnussen kind of delivering as well, and he didn't score today, but they tried an ambitious one-stop strategy, I think they've got two drivers who are probably operating at a really high level.
All good points, very well made, and a lovely segue into the final thing I wanted to talk about. You mentioned the pressure on Liam Lawson, and this was his least convincing race of the comeback, I feel. You then talk about Franco Colapinto, who's had three crashes in two Grand Prix, and you suddenly realise these are hugely talented racing drivers who have been able to come in when there's no pressure and deliver and be mega, and then suddenly you've got the weight of Argentina on one driver's shoulders and Red Bull Racing on the other driver's shoulders. And when the pressure's on to perform and you can feel the eyes of the world looking at you, it becomes a different game. Doesn't it? It really does. And how you bounce back from that, I think, will determine whether you have a long Grand Prix career or not for these young guys.
But at least that can be the making of them. I think I did think that this was going to be a big weekend for Franco, because after those two crashes in Brazil, it's always super important, isn't it, to bounce back at that next weekend. He kind of did so in Baku when he had that little off in practice, and he bounced back and scored points. He hasn't managed to have that bounce back this weekend. So actually, these final two races that he gets to perform for Williams are significant. I think for Liam, I think we've seen enough from him in the performances that we had last year and this year to suggest that he is a very good Grand Prix driver. But like you said, Tom, the pressure is different now, because there is a seat at the top table at Red Bull, whether or not that is next year or in the years to come. And it will be critical for him to, frankly, beat Yuki in these next couple of races. So we've talked about, you know, the battle for P6, but there are so many other significant storylines that are really quite tasty headed into these last couple of races.
So the top 10 looked like this. George Russell took his second win of the season, with Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton in second. Carlos Sainz was the lead Ferrari driver in third, ahead of his teammate Charles Leclerc in fourth. Verstappen sealed the championship with fifth place, ahead of Norris and Piastri sixth and seventh. Hülkenberg was eighth, Tsunoda ninth, and Perez tenth. In the driver's standings, we have a new world champion in Max Verstappen. With two races remaining, he has an unassailable 63-point lead over Lando Norris in second. Leclerc is third, just 21 points behind Norris, with Piastri 51 points further back in fourth. The remainder of the top 10 is led by Sainz in fifth, followed by Russell sixth, Hamilton seventh, Perez eighth, Alonso ninth, and Hülkenberg in 10th. In the constructor standings, it's getting ever closer. McLaren lead on 608 points, Ferrari a second on 584, and Red Bull a third on 555. All three teams remain in contention for the title with just two races remaining. Las Vegas winners Mercedes are a lonely fourth, and Aston Martin a lonely fifth. And then there's the sensational battle for P6. Three teams, led by Haas, are separated by only 4 points, with Alpine currently seventh and RB eighth. And then come Williams in ninth and Sauber, who have yet to score, in 10th. Now, Loz, the most difficult question of the whole pod, driver of the day, because there have been a few of them. Now, Lewis Hamilton won the vote on the telly. Who are you going to say?
Lewis had a great race, no doubt about it. But I think, for me, the driver of the day was Max Verstappen, because he got the job done. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, he needed to finish ahead of Lando to win the championship. And in a car that he didn't really know how good it was going to be in the Grand Prix after that tough qualifying, even in the battle and the heat of that battle with the Ferraris, he did what he needed to do to get the very best out of it. He passed cars when he needed to pass them. He got ahead of Gasly. You know, he did everything right. For me, I can't look beyond that, because it was Max's day. And, you know, that's no disrespect to Lewis. What he did from P10 to P2 was great. But for me, it was Max. What about you?
Well, who would you mention in dispatches? Give me another driver who's impressed you, done something special this weekend.
Well, George, it was his most complete Grand Prix. I remember when Lando dominated in Zandvoort, when he did it in Singapore. I think I came on this podcast and I talked about how great those performances were. And I think when you deliver that kind of win in that manner, I think those kind of things are significant. Who else is there? Nico Hülkenberg, he had a great day. I think when you deliver for a team where the prize money is so significant to Haas, and you nail that pass on Yuki, and they had a really cool battle for a couple of laps, but he got the job done, I think that was impressive. There were a number of really, really strong drives out there today. And I think that is what is making Formula One at the minute so exciting and so difficult for you and me, Tom, and the rest of the media in trying to predict what is going to happen and indeed explain what is going to happen.
My driver of the day is Lewis Hamilton. Taken in isolation, I thought he drove a brilliant race, and he came up with that lovely line. It was like when he was karting again, charging from the back to the front, or in this case was from the middle. I thought he was stunning. But looking at the weekend as a whole, I'm not going to look any further than George Russell. I thought, as you say, this was a huge statement, not just win, weekend. Toto, I've got your back. I've got wide shoulders. I am ready to lead this team going forward. Whatever happens with Kimi, I'm sure he's going to be mega Kimi Antonelli next year, but I am ready. You can rely on me. That's what this said. And the fact that Toto Wolff is staying in Vegas to party with George, I think speaks volumes in terms of the relationship that those two are building. So well done to George. Thank you to Lawrence for coming on the show again. Always a pleasure. Love chatting to you. And of course, if you listening to this want to experience the Las Vegas Grand Prix, you can put a deposit down for 2025 tickets now. Go to f1lasvegasgp.com to do that. And from spring 2025, there's going to be an F1 Drive karting track and lots more entertainment right here at the home of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. So you can enjoy some F1 fun all year round. And a quick shout out to F1's other official pods. This week on F1 Beyond the Grid, my guest is a man who's just completed his 600th F1 Grand Prix weekend with the same team.
Aston Martin sporting director, Andy Stevenson. He was fascinating. And of course, he was with Jordan before they were even in Formula One. So that's out from Wednesday. And the F1 Explains podcast has been finding out about all of the work that makes the Las Vegas Grand Prix happen. The team there have been speaking to Sylvia Bello, who's in charge of sporting and race operations here in Las Vegas. So thanks again to Lawrence. And F1 Nation will, of course, be back midweek with a preview of the Qatar Grand Prix. So I'll speak to you then. But for now, F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.
...2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.